Praise the Lord. This is Brother Julius Adeomi. I'm going through the book of Kings. This time we are going to go through for the first Kings. This is part of the series of going through the Bible. And we have talked about the history of the kings, of the King David in the book of Samuel. Now we're going to the final stages of the life of King David. And now it was turned over to Solomon and so on and so forth. And that's what you see in the book of Kings. You have to remember, the book of Kings is a historical record. It's a historical record. So the Lord allowed the writers to put down both the good things that happened and the bad things that happened, so that we can learn both from the good things and how they followed the Lord, how the Lord blessed them, and how they, those that messed up, how they got their repercussion, so that we can learn from those things that happened in the Old Testament. So we're going to go through the book of Kings. I read it because it's like history. It will be more or less reading and then commentary. I will be giving comment as the Lord leads. I will give us insight. I may refer to some other Bible verses. And I just pray that the Lord will give us some insight in things that we can learn from all these stories of these kings. Okay. Now we are going to Kings, First Kings. This book of First Kings, chapter 1, starting from verse 1. And I read. So follow me. And read your, take your Bible also and follow me step by step. And as I get to a Bible verse that the Lord put some comment in my mouth, I will say it, and then it will bless everybody. Amen. First Kings chapter 1, verse 1. Now King David was old and stricken in years, and they covered him with cloths, but he got no heat. Now, when we look at that, just that by verse 1, we wonder how old was King David. According to this, the final record of King David, I think it was told that he reigned for 40 years. And the Bible said that he reigned for the first 7 years in Hebron over Judah, and then remained 33 years in Jerusalem over the whole of Israel. So, 40 years. And he was sorry when he started reigning. We made him 70 years. But I don't think that was when he died. Because when he turned it over to Solomon, he still lived some more years as an old person. And Solomon was reigning. He was still living for as an old person. We don't know how many years, but it looks like he didn't live more than 80 years. According to the story, it looked like total, the number of years of David was totally 80 years. But now, if you look at it, in the way it was described, that he was so old that you wonder that at 80 years old, he was so old that they were saying he couldn't be covered with a, he couldn't get hit by just blanket and so on. So you wonder that their health was not as now in our generation. We see people in their 90s, they can still be strong, not everybody, but some individually are still strong because of the medication. Because of the insight God has given to mankind, that health, that medicine is helping man, that even at this, I'm that talking right now, look at me, I'm already 73, and by God's grace, I'm still as strong and healthy. But when you look at what they are discussing about David, as if he was so old, as if he was already 100 years old, but he looked like he was just in his 70s, that they say, basically, the life everybody lives is different, of course. David was a warrior, and all those fighting and battling and so on could take toll upon the body. And of course, the same way with what people eat. You know, kings in those days, they ate so many fatty food, meat, and so on. That also, in our generation, have been known that those are not good for the body. So you have to limit how much meat you eat. So that's why many people that are vegetarian or eating less meat and more vegetables, they get healthier. So those are all part of the things that the Bible says knowledge shall be increased. God has given more knowledge to mankind, so that in our generation, more knowledge has been given to man, that people are now going to different type of better diet. So that's why you see that David was still under 70-something years old, so according to this story, because he started at the age of 30 as a king and reigned for 40 years, making him 70. No, so. And then, most likely at the age of 70 was when it was turned over to Solomon. That's what I suspect, because he didn't live more than 80 years old. But at 70, if it was this old that they were covering him with clothes and said he couldn't get one, means that the health wise in that generation was so low. And that was why in the book of Psalm, David was reporting that said, the days of our years was 17 years, and if by reason of strength it be 80, that is labor and sorrow, which means even people that are 80 years old, they say they are so strong. You see? Whereas in the earlier generation, Moses was living more 20 years old. Earlier generation is Caleb claimed that when he was 85, he was still strong to go to battle. So, but as the years progresses in the generation of David, they have deteriorated so much that they are hoping that they will ever reach 70 or 80. You see? And that is really what was the issue. But God has begun to reverse the situation right now for mankind, that knowledge is increased, and more knowledge of medicine also increased, more knowledge of science also increased, and everybody with that knowledge are getting better health. And we can even live up to 120 years in our generation right now that are not even trusting the Lord much just by normal health and medicine. But see, God has actually promised us immortality. That's really what I want to summarize this with. That is, God is reversing all these new things to bring us back to immortality so that human beings can live. And the time of the logical reign on earth in the millennium, people will live for 1,000 years. Because those that enter that millennium, according to the Bible, they will live for the 1,000 years before they are tried. See? And then, of course, not everybody, because some of them that are, the Bible said that even those that are perpetual sinners, because the saints are reigning in the spirit and in the physical in the millennium, they will be able to recognize those who are perpetual sinners, secret sinners, and they say at the age of 100 years, they will be cut off. And that is also in the book of Isaiah. So let's go back to the First Kings that I'm talking about. I just commented on the fact that David was described as very old, and this says, how old was he? He's still under 80 years old. So that was the generation, deteriorating in that generation. Now let's go to verse 2. Wherefore, that's verse 2, 1 Kings chapter 1, verse 2. Wherefore, his servant said unto him, let there be sought for my lord the king a young virgin, and let her stand before the king, and let her cherish him, and let her lie in thy bosom, that my lord the king may get hit. Now, that is another point that they believe that if blanket cannot give enough heat for somebody, that if somebody's the body, human body also have heat, especially if they are a little bit succulent or fat, they can get heat more than those who are skinny. You know? So they are saying somebody sleeping together. The Bible said in the book of Proverbs, when two sleep together, they get warm. How can warm be warm alone? So which means when two people hug themselves together, like they sleep together, there will be heat from one man to the other person, from the husband to the wife, from the husband, wife to the husband. That is what Solomon meant when he said, if two sleep together, they will get heat. So that was what they were describing here. But you say, well, what about his other wife? Why do they need a new woman? So all his other wives are all old also. You have to remember that. They are also old. They may not be as old as him, but they are also old. So they are looking for a younger person, maybe that has heat, you know. As people get old, the body changes also. I mean, the body changes. That's why sometimes they tell you that your metabolism changes, and then the heat also that's coming up will change. That's why they could have said, well, why don't you get one of your concubines or one of your old wives to come and be sleeping in your bosom? Saying those old wives also are not going to be giving as much heat. So they were talking of a young lady that is still a little bit succulent and still have all the body functioning properly. So that's what they are looking for. So they said they have to get somebody that can be sleeping it will be like a wife, of course, if he's going to be sleeping in his bosom. So they are looking for a young woman to come and marry an old king, and some of them will not want to do that. So they have a one that really love their king. So that's why they said someone that will cherish him. So even though the king by this time most likely will not be having erection, that old, that he most likely won't be able to really have any meeting with this woman, but she was sleeping in the same bed, giving him warmth, is what they are talking about. So Verse 3 says, so they sought for a fair damsel throughout all the coast of Israel, and found Abishag, a Shunammite, and brought her to the king. We just imagine they got a young lady, maybe 18-year-old, 22-year-old, 25-year-old, or 30-year-old, somebody that is succulent, that is a little bit fat, but also must be pretty. So that's the somebody they brought to come and be the latest wife, so to speak, of the king. And she'll be living in the palace, and her name was Abishag. And the Bible says in verse 4 that the damsel was very fair, that may be pretty, and shared the king. I mean, she shared a king and ministered to him. So she will be the, before you can get to the king, you have to see this woman, of course. She's the one that is the closest. But the king knew her not. That verse says the king knew her not, means the king does not have any sexual relation with this young woman. She was just sleeping in his bosom. That to show that if the woman was a virgin, that's what they call the look for a virgin, she would still be a virgin when the king died. Because they never really, even though she was sleeping in the bosom of the king to give him warmth, she never had any sexual relationship with this king. So that was what they are saying, that she, the king knew her not. Verse 5, and they all will know that. You can go ask her. And he said, no. The king was so old that she has no erection, no matter who touched him. Now, verse 5. Now, verse 5, beginning of the of another story. Because in the book of 2 Samuel, we had the story of one of the king's son called Absalom, who tried to take over the throne, that make David and his men run away, and then there was war. And that was after 40 years. So that was where the detail of the timeline really was confusing. Because the Bible says after 40 years, Absalom did this. But you are wondering what that means. So Absalom was 40 years old, or is it after 40 years of the reign of the king? So that was a conflict of a historical recording, that we do not understand whether it means Absalom was now 40 years old when he tried that to take over the throne, when the king was still alive. But Solomon was already younger, but not that old, not as old as 40. Maybe Solomon was like 20 something year old by that time. But the first son, not the first son, it was actually the second son, because the first son was already dead. First son of the king, called Amnon, was dead because of all trouble that came between Amnon and Absalom. Absalom was the one that, so to speak, killed Amnon. For the story you read in the chapter, in the second Samuel. Now, Absalom tried to take over the throne, and he finally got killed in the war. Okay, so that was then. Then the next son was Adonijah. And we're going to tell the story of Adonijah also wanted to take over the throne after Absalom tried and failed and died. And maybe some years passed, who knows how many years. And Adonijah was the next son of the king. They are from different wives. So remember that when you look at the stories in the first Samuel or the second Samuel, when they are listing the sons of the king, King David, the first son came from this first wife, the second son came from this other wife, the third son came from this another wife. First son came from this, and so he has about six wives. So they have everyone, they have a son, they have other daughters and son, other sons, but the first one they are talking about. So Adonijah was the son of David through another wife. Not the same mother as that of Absalom. So Adonijah thought, he also, but after Absalom is dead, and how many years has passed, he thought he could influence all the big men around King David to take over the throne. But you know, during these years, there have been stories, there have been the celebrations where King David has already announced that the Lord told him that Solomon will be the king. He has already announced it to the people about him. They already knew about it. The priests knew about it. The prophets knew about it, that God has prophesied, because when Solomon was born, a prophecy came from one of the prophets that this boy is going to be the king after King David. But that was not 20 years ago. People try to think nobody knew about it, but some of these people knew about it. And as Solomon was growing up, even though his bigger brothers were ahead of him, like Absalom was old, was one of the oldest, and then another one, Adonai, they are older than him, and he's just becoming a teenager and then becoming administrative when these people are trying to take over the throne. And David was getting old by that time. See, because David gave birth to Solomon when he committed after he committed the adultery with Bathsheba, that started all those trouble. That was the trouble why they are killing one another. You see, but those are all the stories we saw we read in the book of Second Samuel. Now, Adonijah also wanted to take up this throne while Solomon was already in his palace in his 20s. Perhaps in his 20s to 30, but these boys are older than him, in their 40s, something like that. So they are the ones that everybody knew them to be king's son. And people respected the town. So this Adonijah also thought he could, with his position and his popularity, he might take over the throne. But they all knew in the back of their mind that David has announced in some celebration many years ago that Solomon will be the next king after him. But see, they were trying to brush that one off when he said it that 5 years ago. He said it 10 years ago. So they were trying to brush it off, so to speak. So when they had the opportunity, they tried to take over the throne when David was becoming old and nothing had been assigned yet to anybody. So now, because that's what you saw in the stories of Absalom, Absalom said, well, nobody has been deputized for the king. Oh, if I had been deputized, I would be doing this, I'm doing that. And that was how he won, how Absalom won all the Israelites to himself, trying to say, nobody has been deputized for the king. And the king was getting old. So that was when they say old, see, in that generation, 60 something is becoming very old. Maybe Solomon was still, maybe Absalom, maybe King David was still in his 60s. But they are saying, well, they say, oh, he's very old. Because by the time he was just in his 70s, according to the timeline we're drawing here, that he was already clothed, couldn't cover him. They have to get a young maiden to be sleeping in his bosom. How old was he then? In his 70s? That's what it looks like, because I think he died at the age of 80. So that's what we are talking about. Now, Adonijah is what we are going to read in verse 5. Then Adonijah, the son of Agit, exalted himself, saying, I will be king. And he prepared him chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run before him. He was actually copying the same thing that Absalom did when he wanted to take up the throne. He started having people, like say, entourage. If the son of the king is coming, entourage in Algeria will have been cars, you know, cars and so on and so forth. That would be a parade that the king's son is coming, and then there will be some cars that are going in front of him, in front of his car, and other cars coming by that you call entourage. But in their own generation, they only have horses and chariots. So that's what, and then some men that are running, like a security man. That was what he also did, 50 men to run before him, and horsemen and chariots. And they said, the king's son is coming, the king's son. I don't think all the king's sons have that, but some of them, we have some. But he said, the one that wanted to become so important is one that get 50. Men to be running before him, and horsemen and chariots. And I don't think King David himself has that kind of an entourage, because a king doesn't go out much, but when he's going to go out, maybe some soldiers will march with him and an army. But the king's son, they just take it to a level where they have an entourage of 50 men running before him, and chariots and horsemen, and so on. That was their generation. Now in verse 6, and his father, that is King David, had not displeased him at any time. He's saying, why hast thou done so? I mean, the king could have had that. After Adonijah is having 50 men running before him, he didn't try to correct him or rebuke him or stop it. Just let him alone. He's the son of the king. So he was the next son in age. The first one died. Absalom, the second one, died in the war. And some years later, this is the third one. He also began to show forth his popularity, and they said the king didn't even stop him. And the Bible said, and he also was a very goodly man, and his mother bare him after Absalom. when they say it's mortal BM, it doesn't mean that they have the same mother. It simply says he was next to Absalom in age from another wife, his mother, another wife of David. Verse 7. And he conferred with Joab, the son of Zeruiah, that is Adonijah, discussed with Joab, the captain of the army, the son of Zeruiah, and with Abiathar, the priest. So he got one of the priests. It was two priests that were always with in the tabernacle when David was ruling. You have Abiathar and Zadok. Those two priests were the people that were following David all along. And especially when David ran away from Absalom, those two priests were mentioned, but they took the ark with David, and David was able to tell him to take the ark back and use your sons to be like spies to come and tell us what's going on there. So, but Adonijah wanted to get the priest on his side, got the captain of the army on his side, so he got Joab on his side. He got one of the priests. Maybe he couldn't convince the other one, because some of these people say, well, remember that your daddy said it, a prophet said it, that Solomon didn't want to. So, you know, this man is not going to come online. He knew that that one would not come on board. So he was able to get the second priest, Abiathar, who was very close to David also. But he was running helter-skelter with David when David was still running away from King Saul. See? So but he got Abiathar on his side. These are all these key priests now are old, just as old as David, maybe a little younger. Joab was also in the same age as David. I mean, maybe younger than David. They will be like his fathers. You know? They are father to Adonijah. So he was able to convince them to come on board that he wanted to be the king. So that's why by verse 7 says, and he conferred with Joab, the son of Zeruiah, and with Abiathar the priest, and they followed Adonijah. They following Adonijah helped him. So they agree with him, yeah? Why not? Verse 8. But Zadok the priest, that was the second priest, he couldn't get that one on board. And Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, and Nathan the prophet, and Shimei, and Rei, and the mighty men which belonged to David were not with Adonijah. So he couldn't get the others that were also big men in the palace, he couldn't get them convinced. But they all remember that, look, this cannot work. Your daddy said it, Solomon. So he tried to brush it off. So he couldn't get those, but he get all the other that could be on his side. Verse 9 says, and Adonijah slew sheep and oxen and fat cattle by the stone of Zoelet, which is by Engedi, and called all his brethren the king's sons, and all the men of Judah the king's servants. But Nathan the prophet, and Benaiah, and the mighty men, and Solomon his brother, he called not. So those who couldn't call, you knew that Solomon was, everybody knows Solomon was said he would be the king, he didn't call him. They called the other sons, they were, they followed him. But all those big men that he couldn't convince, he didn't invite them for this special party where they are going to be hailing him as king. Verse 10 says, but Solomon, but Nathan the prophet, and Benaiah, and the mighty men. The mighty men, these are other soldiers. You call them because they are not going to be on his side. And Solomon, his brother, he called not. Verse 11 is where the twist begins to come. One of the prophets who was the one actually knew this prophecy, or perhaps was the one that gave the prophecy to King David many years ago, he couldn't get that one on board, of course. So we are not deaf, we are not blind, our memory is still sharp. We know that this is what God said, and we are trying to change that. So that was Nathan. So verse 11, Nathan was going to take the step, because if things are turning like this, he better try to save his life. Because if they make him king, there may be war again also, and they'll try to round up all those that oppose him also. So that's why Nathan took the step and said, Wherefore Nathan, as the prophet, spake unto Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon, saying, hast thou not heard that Adonijah, the son of Agit, doth reign, and David our Lord knoweth it not? Now, therefore, come, let me, I pray thee, give thee counsel, that thou mayest save thy own life and the life of thy son Solomon. So you see how the prophet put it, to make the mother of Solomon to better take step, go and talk to the king right now. So because if this thing turn like this, they will be arresting Solomon and you, the mother. And of course, all those people that didn't agree with the Adonijah will be wiped out also. So that's why this prophet quickly came to Bathsheba to give him counsel that you better go to the king. The king does not know about this thing that's going on. We need to inform him so that he can do something right now. So that's really what the prophet came to Bathsheba to tell. Verse 13 said, and go and get thee in unto King David, and say unto him, did not thou, my lord, O king, swear unto thy handmaid, saying, assuredly, Solomon thy son shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne. Why then doth Adonijah reign? See, that's what you tell the king. Didn't you swear unto me that Solomon, my son, will reign after you? Why then is Adonijah reign? That's what he said you should tell the king. To make the king say, what? What's going on? Verse 14. Verse 14 said, behold, while thou yet talkest there with the king, I also will come in after thee and confirm thy words. He says, that's how Nathan the prophet said. So when you are just talking to the king, I will come in and confirm it. That yes, this is what's going on, King David. Adonijah has already reigned. So that King David can do something. Verse 15. And Bathsheba went in unto the king into the chamber. And the king was very old, and Abishag, the Shunammite, ministered unto the king. So she will just come in and talk to Abishag, the Shunammite, that I need to talk to the king. And Abishag was asked for the king's audience. Verse 16. And Bathsheba bowed and did obeisance unto the king. You remember, Bathsheba was the one that that David had adultery with, that brought forth the troubles that was happening in the life of David. Not just the adultery, but David tried to cover it up in the second Samuel, remember that story. And in trying to cover up that adultery, David had to order the killing of the husband of Bathsheba, who was the soldier in the army. And then this trouble came by the prophet and said, this is what God is going to do. And all the wars and so on that was going on in the household of David, from his own family, from his own son, it was because of that punishment. So now Bathsheba and David have suffered, so to speak. They suffer together. But now Bathsheba has a second son, which is Solomon, and God said, okay, this will be the throne. People, when they suffer, sometimes God give them double blessing in place of their suffering. So that was really why we believe that God said, okay, Solomon will be the king after you, because of the struggle, suffering that he went through. He went through suffering for the errors that he made, but he repented. King David repented. And even though he repented, those punishments still came from the devil, of course, that his son was killed and his many devils are allowed into to the family that caused all those troubles. And with that, they were suffering together. David had to run away from Absalom. That was part of the suffering. And there was war. Absalom was killed. All of those things that look at civil war was because of all those troubles and because of the punishment for the offense. So it was like, in suffering like this, God said, after you repent, God will repay you double for your trouble. So that was why Solomon was to be king. And why God promised him, he believed that was one of the reasons why God promised that Solomon would be king after him. But now, years were passing by, Solomon was already in his 20s, 24 to 30, and somebody else was trying to take over the throne again. So now here is what Bathsheba went, verse 16. Bathsheba bowed and did obeisance to the king. And the king said, what will let down? No, you know, those people won't come unless they have a request. So you know, that's one of his wives. So what do you want? That's what the king asked her. Verse 17, and she said unto him, my lord, thou swearest by the Lord thy God unto thy handmaid. Well, we do not know when that swearing take place, but he said he swear. But see, Nathan was the one that told the woman to say, King David, you swear unto this woman. So whether it was a real oath or just a, whether it was a real oath or it was just a word, because if you say it, you are swearing, if you are saying something, you stand by your word. If you are a man of your word. So he said, you swear to this woman that his son, our son will be the next king. So thou swearest on by the Lord thy God unto thy handmaid, that is unto Bathsheba, saying, assuredly Solomon thy son shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne. And now behold, Adonai shall reign it. And now my Lord the king, thou knowest it not. See, he was just telling the king. Verse 19 said, and he has slain oxen and fat cattle and sheep in abundance, and has called all the sons of the king, and Abiathar the priest, and Joab the captain of the host. But Solomon thy servant has he not called. So she just listed out all the people that are already following Adonai, so that the king knew whom to call. So Joab the captain of the host was with them. Abiathar the priest was with them. All the king's sons were also there with him, praising him. That it was the king, that's king. He said, but you didn't call your servant Solomon. Wow. So there's good trouble here. Verse 20. And thou, my Lord, O king, the eyes of all Israel are upon thee, that thou should tell them who shall sit on the throne of my Lord, the king, after him. See, the whole nation is waiting for you to tell them who should be king after you. Because he was already old. And an old king that's really not coming to sit on the throne to do any judgment. And they are waiting for somebody else to be taken, to be ruling right now. They are waiting for the king to announce who is going to be next among his sons. But he's already announced it many years ago. Not announced to the whole nation, but maybe among the people in the palace, to the prophets and so on, swearing to this woman. And maybe that was 5 years, maybe 10 years ago. But now these things are shaping, and the king is not making any announcement or turning it over, is what you see. He has not turned it over anybody yet. So this is what's going on. And the woman is trying to remind the king that, verse 21, the woman kept on talking, that Bathsheba said, otherwise, it shall come to pass when my lord the king shall sleep with his fathers, that I and my son Solomon shall be counted offenders. That's why she came. If something happened and the king suddenly died without making any official turnover, and this Adonijah is already making himself liked by all these great men, and he make himself king, he said, if you pass on without passing this order officially, they will count Bathsheba and his son Solomon as offenders and arrest them, get rid of them. See, that's what she come to complain, really, or to plead for herself. Verse 22, and look, while she yet talked with the king, Nathan the prophet also came in. And that's what Nathan said, I will do. Once you are talking, I'll let you talk for a few minutes, and then I will come in also and talk with the king. Confirm it. Verse 23, and they told the king, saying, behold, Nathan the prophet. Now, when the prophet come before the king have to listen. It's a first priority. The prophet comes, priority. God wants to talk. That's how they take the prophet, especially King David. So when he say, behold, Nathan the prophet is here. So everybody have to stop, let the prophet come. And when he was come in before the king, he bowed himself before the king with his face to the ground. Now, prophets don't normally do that, but this time, this prophet is really coming for himself. See, there's a difference. When a prophet comes from the word of God, they don't go and bow down before a king. No. They stand there and say, thus saith the Almighty God, because they are speaking for the Almighty God. Almighty God is speaking to them. But see, this time, Nathan actually came for himself. Well, you are still a human being, and this man is still your king, and you want to have a personal request, you don't come and say, I'm a prophet now, I'm speaking for God. No, you're not speaking for God this time, you're speaking for yourself. So then you have to respect the king as the king of the land. So Nathan simply bowed down. So King David, you know that Nathan didn't come to say, thus saith the Lord this time. He's more or less coming for himself. Verse 24, And Nathan said, "My Lord, O king, as thou said, Adonijah shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne." So he posted a question to the king David. "For he is gone down this day and has slain oxen and fat cattle and sheep in abundance, and has called all the king's sons." So it's not just doing it alone. "And the captains of the host, and Abiathar the priest. And behold, they eat and drink before him, and say, 'God save King Adonijah.' But me, even me, thy servant, and Sadok the priest, and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, and thy servant Solomon, are still not called." So he just listed the way that opposed this thing. When of course, Adonijah people approached them one by one, and they opposed it, saying, "This is what the prophecy said. And this is what Solomon and King David have already said many years ago." And Adonijah brushed them aside. And now he didn't call them, so he called the rest of the people that are on the side. So he knew that where, he said, "Me, thy servant, he has not called." He didn't call Sadok, which means Sadok was also not agreeing with him, with Adonijah. He didn't call Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, because that also didn't agree with Adonijah. And of course, Solomon is the target. So he didn't call Solomon your servant. Verse 37 says, "Is this thing done by my lord the king? And thou hast not showed it unto thy servant, who should sit on the throne of my lord the king after him?" He just left it as a question to King David. Now King David has to now decide what's going to do right now. So verse 28, "Now King David answered and said, 'Call me Bathsheba.'" Now, when the prophet came in, Bathsheba has to get out. That's why this is the situation. The prophet comes and says, "Hey, come, prophet," and Bathsheba has to get out. The prophet comes to talk to the king. So the woman, the wife, went outside. But the lady that was like the servant, she's like the servant, she most likely will see the other Abishai, or maybe other servants are there. So now, after the king had all of these things that Nathan the prophet said, that "You have not told us who's going to stand, who's going to be after you." Then king wanted to ask. But he said, king answered and said, "Call me Bathsheba." He said, he called the woman back inside. And she came unto the king's presence and stood before the king. And the king swear. Verse 29. And the king swear and said, "As the Lord liveth, that has redeemed my soul out of all distress, even as I swear unto thee by the Lord God of Israel, saying, assuredly Solomon thy son shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne in my stead, even so will I certainly do this day." So now David just confirm what he said he swear unto Bathsheba many years before, maybe when Solomon was born, when the prophet first came and told King David. Maybe that was when he made the first swear, and that was what was being reminded him, of that promise. And now he was now saying, "I'm going to now make it official, because things are forming and we don't want it to go opposite to what God has said." He said, "I will do it this day." Verse 31. Then Bathsheba bowed with her face to the earth and did reference to the king and said, "Let my lord the king David live forever." Verse 32. And King David said, "Call me Sadok the priest, and Nathan the prophet, and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada." And they came before the king. See, they come in and go. See, when Nathan was finished talking and he said, "Call me Bathsheba," this Nathan perhaps went outside. And then he swear to Bathsheba again. And then Bathsheba bowed and said, "King David live forever." Then King David said, "Call me Nathan again. Call me all these other people that were not invited by Adonijah." See. And they are going to be the one to take the situation and do something. So King David said, "Verse 32, call me Sadok the priest." He already knew had that he said Sadok the priest was not with Adonijah. And Nathan the prophet, he also knew that Nathan the prophet just came in and was talking with Adonijah. And Benaiah the son of Jehoiada was one of the captains. So they called that one. And they came before the king. And the king also said unto them, take with you the servants of your Lord. I mean, all the other servants, soldiers, also. And cause Solomon, my son, to ride upon my own mule. So my own mule. I mean, it's the one that King David used to ride. Right? So that's the one that Solomon should be used to made to ride. And bring him down to Gihon. He told them where they should go. And let Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet anoint him there, king over Israel. And blow ye with the trumpet and say, God save King Solomon. Then ye shall come up after him, that he may come and sit upon my throne, for he shall be king in my stead. And I have appointed him to be ruler over Israel and over Judah. So that was the announcement. And see, when kings are talking, people are recording it. There's always a recorder recording it. Because all along, all those people that are doing their own thing on the side, they are not recorded. They are just doing it on the side. But when the king is speaking, there's a recorder recording it. So he's saying this now officially. And they were recording it. As he's making Solomon to be ruler over Israel and over Judah. Verse 36. Now, these three servants of the king are now going to respond to King David. And Benaiah, that's verse 36, and Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, answered the king and said, Amen. The Lord God of my Lord the king says so too. So they agree with this. As the Lord has been with my Lord the king, even so be he with Solomon, and make his throne greater than the throne of my Lord King David. Verse 38, so Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet, and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, and the Keretites and the Pelesites went down. Now the Keretites and Pelesites, like God said, the royal guard, the royal band. They are like the, you can say, in many places they will be like the king guard. They have a group of soldiers called Keretites and Pelesites, and they are like the royal guard. So they are the ones that march with Solomon to go and. Because if any of them were invited to give maybe their ruler, their leader, but they didn't agree with Adonijah. So the Keretites and the Pelesites went down and caused Solomon to ride upon King David's mule and brought him to Gihon. And Zadok the priest took an horn of oil out of the tabernacle and anointed Solomon. And they blew the trumpet, and all the people said, God save King Solomon. See, when the people in Jerusalem and all the citizens, you know, these are not part of the people that are having party in Adonijah's house. So they are just seeing the characters and the president of the royal guard marching towards the place, and then they are coming back blowing trumpets and blowing something. They will just be hating that what's going on. Oh, they make Solomon king. So the people that are doing down on the other side, so whatever, they are doing this illegally. And Zadok the priest, verse 39, and Zadok the priest took an horn of oil out of the tabernacle and anointed Solomon, and they blew the trumpet, and all the people said, God save King Solomon, and all the people came up after him, and the people piped with pipes and rejoiced with great joy, so that the earth rang with the sound of them. I mean, the whole city now was ringing with sound of joy. And Adonijah and all the people and all the guests that were with him heard it as they had made an end of eating. I mean, they are just having a party over there. And they had a noise in the city. So what's going on over there? And so they just finished their eating when they heard the noise of the city. And when Joab heard the sound of the trumpet, he said, wherefore is this noise of the city being in an uproar? Joab also was saying, it was a captain, but he was already old, almost like a retired captain of the army. Or maybe he's not retired yet. Verse 42. And while he yet spake, behold, Jonathan, the son of Abiathar. Abiathar was with them over there with Zadok and so on. So Jonathan was just a young man, has been going up and has saw that this was going on. And he went quickly to go and tell his dad in the palace. By the time he got there, they had found him. What's going on over there? So Jonathan, the son of Abiathar, the priest, came, and Adonijah said unto him, come in, for that a valiant man, and bring good tidings. So he thought Jonathan brought good tidings. And Jonathan answered and said to Adonijah, "Verily, our Lord King David has made Solomon king. And the king has sent with him Zadok the priest, and Nathan the prophet, and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, and the Keresites and the Pelesites, and they have caused him to ride upon the king's mule." I mean, pointing out that this is the king's mule that he was riding upon. That shows prestige also. "And Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet have anointed him king in Gihon, and they have come up from thence rejoicing, so that the city rang again." This is the noise that you have heard. Now, it's like what you say, there's a proverb that says that something failed. Verse 46. Jonathan kept saying, because he went and saw what was going on, he must have visited all these places to see that this is true in this year. He even went there to see Solomon sitting on the king's throne. And when he went further, he said, "And also Solomon seated on the throne of the kingdom. And moreover, the king's servants came to bless our Lord King David, saying, God make the name of Solomon better than thy name, and make his throne greater than thy throne. And the king bowed himself upon the bed. And also thus said the king." So Jonathan went to see everything before he came and reported to his dad, who was with Adonijah over there. He said, "And also thus said the king, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which has given me, he given one to sit on my throne this day, my eyes even seeing it." So when he saw all those things, he said, "Well, it's over." So he quickly went to go and tell Abiathar his dad and Adonijah where they are having the feast. That was why he come there. By the time he got there, he has got all the information that this is concluded. There's nothing you can get and get a scramp over here. Everybody's cramped. Everybody's scattered here. Verse 49. "And all the guests that were with Adonijah were afraid." I mean, when they heard that story. "And they rose up and went every man his way." Everybody fled. Wow. "And let them not hear that I was with Adonijah here before the new king Solomon bring the sword. Let them not hear that I was with Adonijah." So everybody fled so that Adonijah, you're on your own. Verse 50. "And Adonijah feared because of Solomon, and arose and went and caught hold on the horns of the altar." Now he's now trying to save his neck, because everybody, the old king, the new king, the old kingdom was now following Solomon. What he was still doing was just himself and some guests, and got some captains of the army, and one priest and one servant with him. And now things have turned around. He has to save his neck. So Adonijah went and caught hold on the horns of the altar. And when you go there, it's like they are crying for mercy. The horns of the altar is in the tabernacle where the priest Adonijah, or the priest Zadok, and the priest Abiathar normally will be in charge of that place. So that's where Adonijah went to cry for mercy. Verse 51. "And it was told Solomon, saying, Behold, Adonijah feared King Solomon, for lo, he has caught hold on the horns of the altar, saying, Let King Solomon swear unto me today that he will not slay his servant with the sword." So that was how Adonijah begged for mercy. And Solomon said, "If he will show himself a worthy man, there shall not an hair of him fall to the earth. But if wickedness shall be found in him, he shall die." So King Solomon sent, and they brought him down from the altar. And he came and bowed himself to King Solomon. And Solomon said unto him, "Go to thy house." So that was the end of chapter 1. And I will continue this in the next chapter. You can see how the table was turned, that Solomon became king. And Adonijah, that was trying to make himself king, so I have to beg for mercy. Now, Joab was with Adonijah, and Abiathar also was with Adonijah. And Abiathar was the priest. Joab was the captain of the army of King David, but he was also an old man. So the situation was going to be, Solomon was going to have to do something about all those people. And And you will see in the next chapter how Solomon handled wisdom. God gave wisdom to Solomon. And now he handled all those people that individually went against him directly or indirectly. He handled them specially. And we get that to that in chapter 2. God bless you.